Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the book of Zechariah, and we're going to just take a pause this week in our study through the book of 2 Corinthians, but we're going to go to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 1. If you find Matthew, you can go back to the Old Testament to Malachi and then to Zechariah. If you find Genesis, you got a long ways to go, all right? So, Zechariah chapter 1, Zechariah chapter number 1. At the end of the service, we also have a gift for all of the fathers, all the men here today. So make sure as you're leaving, make sure you pick that up on your way out, just as a way to say Happy Father's Day. Zechariah chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And go down to verse number 5, Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, "In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my word and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to come this morning and worship you. And Father, I pray that you would just bless this morning. We thank you for the good singing, the special music, Lord, just lifting up the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to look to you. And Lord, just desire that you would work in each of our hearts as only you can. And Lord, we thank you again that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can call you our Heavenly Father. And Lord, you've made us part of your family. And Lord, we do pray if there is someone today that may not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that you would speak to their heart about that need today, draw them to yourself. Lord, just bless now in the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we come to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah is dealing, he's kind of writing at the end of part of the captivity of Israel. They've been in captivity for about 70 years, and after 70 years of captivity, there is a remnant that is allowed to go back to Israel, go back to the land of Israel. And if you notice, it's very interesting, who is the king during this time? Did you notice who that was in chapter 1 and verse number 1? Did you notice who the king was? Darius, King Darius. Do we know of anyone else that might speak a little bit about Darius? Kind of we would say maybe a famous prophet. Obviously, all of these prophets are important, but we would say maybe there's a prophet that we know maybe a little bit more of about and what he did than many other prophets that speaks about Darius. Anybody? Daniel, right? Daniel is one of the prophets during that time. And of course, we know Daniel deals with a lot of the end time prophecy and things correlating with the book of Revelation and things. But Daniel, and so think about this, Daniel, again, sometimes we don't get this picture when we look at the different books of the Bible. Many times we think because the Bible is written over a 1,600-year period of time that we just think that, between every book there's just years and years and years and years and years. But many of them overlap with each other. And of course, so we have Daniel, who was a prophet during this time, and Zechariah, who's a prophet during this time. Also, the book of Haggai. We'll get to Haggai in just a minute. But all of them are prophesying during this same time period under the reign of Darius during this time. And but notice, I want you to see something here. There's a question that Zechariah asks here that really, this question is really being asked by God. And I think it's a very important question that we're going to look at this morning. As we look through this, in verse number 5, he says, "Your fathers," and notice the next three words, "Where are they?" That's kind of an interesting question, right? I would think that God would know where they're at, right? But he's asking this question to help the children of Israel think about something, right? He's asking the thing, he says, where are your fathers? Now again, think about this. This is 70 years into the captivity time because Israel disobeyed God, and now they've been in captivity for 70 years, and a remnant has been allowed to go back a little bit into to Israel, and they're starting to try to rebuild Jerusalem and some of the things there in Israel. And so there's a remnant that's going back, but he's asking this question during this time, and he says, where are the fathers? Where are the fathers? And so we're going to look at a little bit of this passage here this morning. Notice, first of all, we find the past fathers. He deals with the past fathers. In verse number 4, he says, be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But watch what it says about them. They did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. If you hold your place here, go to chapter 7 of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. Notice in verse number 7. He says, should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited in the south and the plains? So he says, hey, God sent these prophets when things were going well, right? There was prosperity in the land, right? Things were going well, but then go to verse number 12 with me in the same passage. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Think about this. He's saying God sent the prophets, and even when things were going well in the land, there was prosperity in Israel. But what happened when there was prosperity? Guess what happened? People started hardening their hearts to the things of God. Isn't it interesting that when things are going bad, we really cry out to God. We say, God, I need your help, and God, I need you, and God, deliver us. But when things go well, it's like we just don't think we need God anymore. We don't need God. I mean, things are going well. We've got it under control, and there's no need for God now. This is exactly what Zechariah is saying. This is what happened to the former fathers. Things were going well, and they said, hey, we don't need God anymore. We don't need to listen to the word of God. We don't need to listen to the prophets. We don't need to listen to the preaching anymore. We're just going to do what we want. But what's interesting about this was 2 months prior to Zechariah writing this letter, or writing this book here, we find that God had led the prophet Haggai to challenge some of the exiled Jews to make a renewed commitment to God. He's saying the reason why you're in the situation that you're in captivity is because you chose to turn away from God. You chose not to listen to God. You made your hearts hard to the things of God. And so God brought judgment. And so even the prophet Haggai, if you turn over there with me, just right before Zechariah, the book right before Zechariah, in Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, notice in verse number 1, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, so again, same time, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, now watch what God is going to say in verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste, referring to the house of God, the temple? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called her a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of the hands. Think about what Haggai is saying here. That they were going about life, and yet, guess what they found? Notice that no satisfaction. They were working, and yet they were bringing little. He said they had food, but yet they weren't satisfied. They had drink, but yet it was like they couldn't drink enough. They were putting their money into a bag, and yet he says it's like the bag had holes. You ever gone through a time like that? When it just seemed like, man, you're just doing everything that you know to do, and it's just like you just can't get ahead, right? I'm sure we've all gone through times like this. Why was Israel going through this? And this is why God says Israel was going through this, because they had forgotten the things of God. They had turned away from the things of God. They had said, God, we don't really care about you anymore. All we're concerned about is us and what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish. God had blessed Israel greatly. And that's what he says. They were prosperous. And then they said, we don't need you anymore, God. May I say that, does that sound a little familiar? Has God not blessed our country? God has blessed our country in an amazing way. I mean, you look at America and you see the history of the world, and there's just not another country that is like America. I mean, just throughout history, there's just not another country like America. And God has blessed America greatly, and yet what has happened? America has stood up and said, God, we don't need you anymore. We don't need you. And here's what's happened, though, friend. I want you to think about this, right? They had been blessed, and yet he says, you don't have anything. Isn't it interesting? In our country, though, our country, it would be what we could call a first world country. And yet we're so blessed, and yet people are not satisfied. We're so blessed, and yet we have to have more, and we have to have more, and we have to have more. And by the way, I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about even Christians. We have been blessed by God, and yet we're not satisfied with what God has given to us. We're not satisfied with what God has blessed us with. And so after Haggai's challenge, after this challenge here that he gives, he says, hey, you've forgotten God. You've turned away from God, right? He says, you need to turn back. Don't forget about God. Get back to where God wants you to be. Right? Again, think about what he says in this passage here. You have, in verse number 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They said, we don't need to build God's house. We're concerned about our homes and our fields and our flocks and everything. We don't care about anything about what God wants. We're just going to do what we want. And God says, because of that, because you have turned away from God, God says, anything that you do, he said, I'm not going to bless. I'm not going to bless it. In fact, he says here in verse number 11, he says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, watch what, there's a little word there. It's a one-letter word. It says, I. Guess who that I is? It's God. He said, I did blow upon it. He said, I blew it away. Yeah, you were working, and you were trying to bring it in, but he says, I blew it away. And this is what he says. Why? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. He says, because you have not cared about the things of God. You're more concerned about your own things than the things of God. I'm not saying this is happening in every person's life, but can I say, maybe if there's a reason why it just seems like you can't get ahead, maybe we need to stop and examine and say, am I as concerned about the things of God as about my own things? Am I more concerned about myself? Am I more concerned about what I'm doing than I am the things of God? It's very easy for us to get sidetracked. It's very easy for us to just kind of say, well, you know, the things of God, they're not that important. I'm just going to focus on me. That's exactly what Israel did. That's exactly what the past fathers did. And so there's this challenge. There's this warning to them. And what happened is the people responded favorably. The people respond to faith. They repented of their sin. They rededicated themselves to God. Look in verse number 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, and the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. That they listened to the message. They said, hey, you're right, Haggai, we have not been obeying God. And the Bible says they repented and they turned back to God. They said, God, we're gonna follow you. We're gonna obey you. We're gonna be obedient to you. And God says, I'm gonna be with you, right? That's what he says. Because they repented, they turned back to God, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. God said, I am with you. So they repented. The problem was, it was kind of just an outward appearance. The people seemed serious and sincere, but just 2 months later, I'm talking just 2 months later, they're wavering in this commitment and they're turning their backs on God again. And so what does God do? God sends another prophet by the name of Zechariah. And this is where Zechariah comes in. Again, this is fascinating. Haggai preaches, says, hey, you got to turn back to God. They said, hey, we're going to turn back to God. Just 2 months later, they're starting to waver. 2 months later, they're starting to turn away from God again. And so God sends another prophet, Zechariah. This is just 2 months after the message from Haggai comes. 2 months later, he sends Zechariah here. And this is what he says again. Think about what he says in chapter 7, verse number 7. Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity and the cities thereof round about her when men inhabited the south and the plain? And verse number 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in the spirit of the former prophets. He said these past prophets had warned their fathers to turn from their wickedness. These past prophets, God had sent Jeremiah. Before Israel had gone into captivity, God had sent Jeremiah, and God had sent Isaiah, and God had sent Joel, and God had sent Hosea, and God had sent Amos to prophesy and to warn them to turn from their wickedness, to turn from their evil ways, and to turn back to God. But he said they wouldn't listen. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, preacher after preacher, message after message, and they would not turn. They continued to turn their backs on God. And this is what God said had led the past fathers into captivity, their disobedience to God. They had sinned and rebelled against God, and now the present generation was following in their footsteps. They weren't concerned about God. They weren't following God anymore. And so notice the second thing here, we find God's displeasure. Look back in Zechariah chapter 1 again. Look at God's displeasure here. Notice the direction of God's anger, right? Look in verse number 2. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your, what's that next word? Come on, what's that next word? What is it? Does it say mothers? Isn't that interesting? Doesn't say the Lord is displeased with your mothers. Does it say children? No. It doesn't say the Lord was displeased with your children. It says the Lord was displeased with your fathers. God wasn't angry with the wives. He wasn't angry with the children. He was angry with the fathers. Why? Because the reason the children of Israel had been in captivity was because of the sin of the past fathers. And God was now warning these fathers that if you continue in the way you're going to fall in the same situation of the past fathers. He was warning the present fathers not to make the same mistakes. Don't make the same mistake in turning away from God. And by the way, can I say this morning? When God gives you a responsibility, he will hold you accountable. Guys, we better understand that. Men, if you are married in here this morning, and you have a wife, you have children, God has given you a responsibility to lead your home spiritually. And with that responsibility, he will also hold you accountable. He's not gonna hold the wife accountable for how the home was led spiritually. He's not gonna have the children be responsible for how the home was led spiritually. He is going to hold the men, the fathers, the husbands accountable for how the home is being led spiritually. Ladies, can I encourage you this morning? Can I encourage you with something? Let your husband lead. It's not your job to lead. You say, well, I'm just the more domineering person. Well, stop it. It's not your job. His job is to lead. You say, well, he's not leading the way I think he should. The way you think he should? How about encourage him to lead the way God says he should? Encourage him to lead in the way that God says. You submit to his authority. Let him be the leader of the home. God's gonna hold him accountable, not you. Let your husband lead the home in the way that God has designed it to be. God was angry with the fathers because they were not being obedient to what God was going to hold them accountable for. The fathers are to lead their families in a way that is pleasing to God. And when we do not do that, there are consequences. There's consequences. When we as the men and as the fathers and as the husbands do not lead the homes the way God wants us to, there are consequences. Men, you've got to understand what you do as a father and a husband, it affects your wife, it affects your children, it will affect your grandchildren, and it affects all those around you. It affects everyone. You say, well, it's just me, it's just my home. No, it's not just you, it's affecting your wife. Is she growing spiritually the way she ought to because of your leadership? It's gonna affect your children. Are your children having a love for the things of God because you have a love for the things of God? It's gonna affect how they serve. It's gonna affect how they work at the job, all because of how you lead. You say, that's a great responsibility. It is. It is a great responsibility. And that's why God says he will hold us accountable for it as well. And that's why it's so important that we lead in the way and understand that it affects those. Think about Achan. Remember in Joshua chapter 7, they're going into Jericho and God says, all the spoils of Jericho are to be mine. They belong to God. God says, you're gonna have opportunities from all the other cities and all the other spoils. You're gonna have plenty. But he says, I want Jericho to be mine. The first belongs to God. So they go, they march around Jericho one day. Or one time each day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they march around it seven times. They don't pull out a sword. They don't shoot an arrow. They don't throw a spear. God says, I just want you to shout. And they shout. The Bible says the walls of Jericho came down. God gave them a great victory that day. Isn't it interesting that they never won a battle that way again? Just that one. Just that one that God says, this is mine. And they go in and they're getting all the spoils. And the Bible says there's a man by the name of Achan. And the Bible says that as Achan was going through the city, he saw some Babylonian garments and he saw some gold. And what happened? What was supposed to be God's, Achan decided to keep for himself. And he took those garments and he took that gold and he went and he hid it in his tent. He disobeyed God. They go to attack the city of Ai, and they go and they're defeated. Ai was a much smaller city, and they're defeated. And they can't figure out why they were defeated by Ai. And Joshua says, God, I don't understand what's going on. We just defeated Jericho, which was a much greater city, and this Ai was smaller. How did they defeat us? And here's what God says, there is sin in the camp. By the way, you know, when they went to Ai, over 30 men did not come back. 30 husbands, 30 fathers did not come back from the battle of Ai. God says there's sin in the camp. They bring each tribe before Moses, and God says, nope, it's not that one. They finally get to this one. God says, it's this one. They bring each family, and God says, oh, it's this family right here. And Joshua says, Achan, what have you done? And Achan confesses, and he says, well, I saw these really nice clothes, and I saw this gold, and I took it, and I hid it. I disobeyed God. Achan, do you understand what you've done? There are 30 husbands, 30 fathers that will never come home to their families because you chose to disobey God. By the way, that wasn't the only punishment. God said, I want you to go and you get some men, you go and find that gold, you find that silver, you find those clothes, you bring it out here, and you're going to take Achan and his family and everything of Achan's family, you're going to take it outside and you're going to kill them because they disobeyed God. His wife died because he disobeyed God. His children died because he disobeyed God. Those 30 husbands and fathers died because he disobeyed God. I guarantee you, Achan said that day when he brought, nobody's gonna know it. This isn't gonna affect anybody. This is just for me. And guys, let me tell you something. You can say, well, nobody's gonna know about the sin that I'm in. Nobody's gonna be affected by it. It's just my sin. It's just what I'm gonna do. No, let me tell you something. It's gonna affect your wife, and it's gonna affect your children, and it's gonna affect all those around you. It's gonna affect your church. It's gonna affect your community. God is warning them, hey, don't follow in the same steps as your fathers did. It will affect others. It doesn't just affect us. It's interesting, we say we want to break the mistakes of the past. And yet, instead of taking a stand and doing what we should to break the mistakes, we make excuses. And we say, well, it's just the way I am. Or it's just how I was brought up. Or it's just, I'm just a product of my circumstances. Hold on a second, wait a minute. God says, don't follow that. Don't go in that same way. I'm giving you a warning. Don't follow the past fathers. God didn't tell the children of Israel, God told the children of Israel in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 13, he said, I am with you. They said, God, we're gonna follow you. We recognize that we've done wrong and we're gonna repent. We're gonna follow you. And God says, hey, let me tell you something. When you follow me, when you do it God's way, God says, I am with you. I'm gonna be with you. Look, I understand that there's gonna be decisions that fathers have to make and husbands have to make that are big decisions, but God said, I'm gonna be with you in it. You can trust me in it. I'm gonna be right there with you every step of the way if we'll simply be obedient to God. You see, when God created the home, he placed the husband as the head. He is to lead the wife and the children in the ways of God. In the days that we live today, what's sad is that mothers are more religiously active in our society than fathers are. In a typical week, mothers are more likely than our fathers to attend church, than to pray, and to read their Bible. Mothers will pray out loud with their families, but fathers will not. Mothers will read their Bible with their children, but fathers will not. The only faith-related activity in which fathers are just as likely as mothers to engage is volunteering to help do something in the church, to clean the church, to do a work day or something like that. It is an estimated 71.5 million children live in the United States. This was from the census taken in 2024, by the way. 71.5 million children. Almost 33% of the children living in the United States are growing up without fathers. Think about that. Almost 22, 23 million children growing up without fathers. What kind of generation will we have with fathers who are not willing to fulfill their responsibility? Can I say we're already beginning to see the results of this when fathers are not active, when fathers are not involved in the homes, when fathers are not leading spiritually? 85% of children with absent fathers get involved in crime. 85%. 70% of children in fatherless homes have dropped out of high school. Girls that are raised in fatherless homes are 4 times more apt to become teenage mothers because there's no father in the home. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth sitting in prison grew up in a fatherless home. Don't say, well, my actions aren't going to affect anybody else. Oh, yes, they will. They do. And we're seeing a society that says, well, you know, I don't want to make the same mistakes as my father, but yet we're making the same mistakes. We're not willing to stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to make those same mistakes. I'm going to lead my family spiritually. Maybe you didn't have a good example of a father in the home. Maybe you didn't have a good example of a spiritual leader in your home, men. But here's what you need to do. Say, hey, I know what God has told me to do, and I know what my responsibility is, and so I'm not going to follow the mistakes of those before me. I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to be the spiritual leader of my home. Where are the fathers? This is what God is saying. Where are the fathers? You know where the fathers were? Dead. They were dead in captivity because they disobeyed God. They were in captivity. They got conquered by the Babylonians. They're riding under the king Darius because they chose to disobey God. Where are the fathers? They're dead. You want to follow that pattern, he says? You want to keep following them? What they did not lead to prosperity. What they did not lead to a better life. It led to death. Where are the fathers? They didn't want to listen to the word of God. They didn't want to take a stand for God. And God says, I'm not angry at the moms. I'm not angry at the wives. I'm not angry at the children. Where are the fathers? Guys, we have a responsibility that God says is a great responsibility, and he is going to hold us accountable. Your wife, your family, your children are depending upon you. So what does he say? He says we need godly fathers. In verse number 3 of Zechariah chapter 1, he says, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. And watch this, and I will turn unto you. God says, look, you've been following the wrong example here. But he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to me. He says, when you turn to me, I'm going to turn to you. When you follow me, I'll be right there with you. He said, what I want you to do, men, I want you to make a determination in your heart and in your life that I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be. We got a lot of young people in here, teenage boys and young adult men that aren't married yet. Guys, can I have something? You need to determine now that you're going to be the man that God wants you to be. Maybe you don't have a spiritual father in your home. Maybe you don't have one leading spiritually. Don't make that an excuse. You need to say, hey, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Because your family is counting on it. One day, I know this is a scary thought, but some of you guys are going to get married. That's a scary thought right there. Heaven help her. They may even have kids one day. Can you believe that? I mean, wow. They need you. Now, to determine to be the spiritual man that God wants you to be. Don't wait till you get married. Don't wait till you have kids. You determine now, I'm going to be what God wants me to be as a man. Husbands, fathers, don't keep going. Why not today say, I'm going to determine today to be the man that God wants me to be. I'm not just going to keep following the past mistakes of my fathers. Maybe I didn't have a spiritual father to show me what I need to do and to be a good example in my family. But you know what? I know that God can be, he's going to be with me and he's going to show me exactly what I need to do. And I'm going to decide today, I'm going to be the father and the husband and the man that God wants me to be. Because if not, where are the fathers? If we don't take a stand and say, we're going to be what God wants us to be, can I tell you something? A few years, we're not going to have churches full of young people. We're not going to have churches. We're not going to have young people that want to serve God and that want to follow God. They're going to be just following the world. Why? Because they're following what the fathers have done. God says, I don't want you to make that same mistake. I'm challenging you. He sent Zechariah, he sent Haggai, and he says, I want you to be a godly man. I wonder how many fathers would say being a husband and being a father are not easy jobs. Would you say that? If you're a husband and a father, would you admit to that? It's not an easy job being a husband and a father. I think we could all admit to that, right? It's not an easy job. They're hard. But instead of going to the one who knows how it's supposed to be done, we either take advice from people who have made the same mistakes we're making, or as in so many cases today, we just shirk our responsibilities and let somebody else do it. Don't be that man. Go get in the Word of God. Find out what God says a man ought to be. Right? Find out what God says a spiritual man ought to be. Look, I understand in our society, in our culture, we're losing masculinity, okay? I'm not here this morning saying that unless, you know, you can bench press 300 pounds and you can shoot, you know, 100 yards, that you're not a man. That's not what I'm saying here this morning, right? I'm saying you need to find out what God says a man ought to be. By the way, David was a musician. Before he was a man of war. He was a musician, he wrote songs, right? God can use you in any aspect of your life, but you've got to determine wherever God puts you that you're gonna be the man that God wants you to be there. Will you be the husband that God wants you to be? Will you be the father that God wants you to be? The way that God wants it to be done, not the way the world says it ought to be done, but the way that God says it ought to be done. We need godly men and godly fathers and godly grandfathers. I like what A.W. Tozer would say. He said, nearness is likeness. So if we want to be like him, we need to be near him. So many times we say, well, I want to be like Jesus, but we're not willing to get in his word. I want to be like him, but we're not willing to spend time with him. I want to be like him, but we're not willing to pray and commune with him. We're not willing to be obedient to him. No, we've got to be near him. If we want to be like Jesus, we've got to be close to him. We need some fathers to follow the example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19, when God says, "For I know him." This is what God says about Abraham. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God says, I know that Abraham is going to lead his family to follow me. What would God say about you this morning? Husband? Father? Would God say, I know him. He's going to teach his children. He's going to lead his family to follow God. We need some fathers who will teach their children and their families the importance of following the word of God, listening to what God says in his word, and then acting upon it, applying it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2 and 7, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. God says, you've got to be a man that has a heart for God. You've got to be a man that loves God and walks with God. And then you can teach your wife and you can teach your children how to follow God as well. We've got too many men that are just willing to pass it off to somebody else. No, no, guys, you have a responsibility. God says, where are the fathers? Where are the men to lead their homes and to lead their families in a spiritual way? Just 2 months previous to Zechariah, they had made a commitment to God. And just after 2 months, they were beginning to waver on their commitment. I wonder how many times we've tried to recommit or rededicate to be a godly father, only in just a short period of time to begin to waver on that commitment. Even today, you may pray at the end of this service, God, I want to be a godly father. God, I want to be a better man. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. Maybe some of you young men that aren't married yet, God, one day I want to be a godly father and I want to be a godly husband. But then next week, where is that same commitment? 2 weeks from now, do you still have that same commitment? A month from now, do you still have that same desire? 2 months from now, are we going to follow the example here? Just 2 months after they'd repented, 2 months after they turned back to God, 2 months, they're already starting to fall back away. God has to send Zechariah and say, hey, wait a second, what's going on here, guys? No, no, no. You keep following God. Turn back to God. Don't forsake him. Hey, every day we've got to make a commitment. I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be today. I'm going to be the husband. I'm going to be the father that God wants me to be so that I can be what he would have me to be as a husband and father. Lead the way that he wants me to lead. What did God say back in verse number 3? He said, if you will turn to the Lord, he will turn to you. Remember what he said in Haggai? He said, if you'll follow and you'll be obedient to me, God said, I will be with you. Can I tell you something? You can't get any better than that. When God says, if you'll obey me, I will be with you. You follow me, I will be with you. And I tell you something, he'll give you the courage that you need tomorrow to be the man that God wants you to be. He'll give you the strength that you need next week to continue that endeavor. But you've got to draw near to him. You've got to get close to God. You can't just say, well, one day I'm going to do it. No, no, no. You've got to make that decision and you've got to keep following it. You've got to keep it up. It's not just a one and done. No, that's what they think. Well, we're going to repent. 2 months later, they were back to the same old ways. Are we willing to be the men that God wants us to be? Your fathers, where are they? He said, you remember what happened to your fathers? They chose to disobey God. They chose to rebel. And they got taken into captivity. And here's the thing, friend, they all died in captivity. They all died in captivity. This is 70 years after they've been taken captive. All their fathers have died. They didn't get to experience the blessings of God in Israel anymore because they chose to disobey. God says, hey, don't follow the example of the fathers before you. You choose today to be a man of God. You choose today that I'm going to be the husband that God wants me to be. You choose today I'm going to be the father that God wants me to be. Not what the world says, but what God says. And every day you make that commitment. God, I'm going to draw near to you. I need your help today, God. I need your help to be a better husband. I need your help to be a better father. And on Tuesday, God, I need your help today. And you draw near to God and you see how God won't bless you as he turns to you, as you turn to him, and he helps you to be the man that God wants you to be. Where are the fathers that will take a stand and say, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be the husband. I want to be the father that honors God and leads his family in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I tell you the most important decision you can ever make is to know Jesus Christ. You can make a decision to try to be a better father and to be a better husband, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of that's going to matter. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure that I have a relationship with God. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor Andrew, that's me. That's me. I'm not sure. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. Just want to pray for you this morning. Say, Pastor Andrew, that's me. Anyone here this morning, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Fathers, husbands, are you going to follow the past fathers that were disobedient to God? Are you going to keep making excuses? Well, you know, my wife is a better spiritual leader. Well, you know, I just wasn't raised that way. Well, I'm just a product of my circumstance. That's just how I am. You're going to keep making excuses? Are you going to determine today, I want to be the husband and the father and the man that God wants me to be? I'm going to ask if we'll just stand quietly to our feet. And just before the piano even begins to play, I'm going to ask fathers, if God has spoken to your heart, men, fathers, husbands, if God's spoken to your heart and says, hey, you could do better at being the man that God wants you to be, at being the husband and being the father, maybe this morning you need to come and pray and say, God, would you help me to be the husband and the father that you want me to be? The head's bowed and eyes closed, the piano's just going to begin playing softly. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you be obedient to it? Be obedient to what God has said. Husbands, fathers, your family's depending upon you. They're depending upon you. Your grandchildren are depending upon you. You may not even have grandchildren yet, but they're depending upon you and the choices and the decisions that you make in leading your family today. Ladies, wives, maybe you ought to be praying for your husband. God, would you help my husband to be the man that you want him to be? God, would you help my husband to be the spiritual leader of our home? And if you're trying to take that from him, maybe this morning you need to say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me for trying to take that from him. Help me to follow him. Young people, you ought to be praying for your dad. Say, God, I want my father, I want my dad to be the spiritual leader that God wants him to be. You need him to follow God so that he can lead your family in a way that is pleasing to God. Where are the fathers that will take a stand and say, that's the father, that's the man, that's the husband that I'm going to be? Don't keep making excuses. No. You need to make that decision today. You draw nigh to God. Each and every day you follow him, you draw closer to him, and he'll help you be the man that God wants you to be. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you can be the man that God wants you to be.